This morning I want to talk a bit about waiting. I'm a teacher, so I can ask you to give a show of hands. Who here likes waiting? One, two, I think I saw two kind of hesitant hands. Okay, who here doesn't like waiting? Okay, I was expecting some of my students are up top like waving their arms. I don't like waiting. However we take it, it's hard to ignore the reality that waiting is an integral part of the human experience. In many ways, waiting is a positive thing. We look forward. We anticipate. Ask any of the kids who are up here what they're looking forward to this month. Chances are Christmas is on their mind. That's exciting. There's anticipation. We anticipate whether it's relationships or things that we're looking forward to. Ultimately, the passages we heard read are this anticipation, this looking forward, this positive aspect of waiting for God's kingdom to be revealed in its fullness. And so in many ways, waiting is a positive thing in Scripture and in life. Even just this theme of this morning, O come, Emmanuel, that waiting, that expectation. That I think that type of waiting is inspiring, life-filling, and we can get inspiration from that waiting. Yet many of us, and I would put myself in the group, we raise our hands when we are asked if we like waiting. Unfortunately, this time of year especially, waiting can be probably better described as impatience. Again, kids at Christmas, for all of the joy of looking forward, often it's an impatient, like, when is Christmas going to be here? Driving in the parking lot at the mall, anybody? Impatience? What are you waiting for? Becomes this chorus of exasperation that we repeat endlessly, whether it's waiting in line at a store or waiting for things to take place. Impatience characterizes our waiting. But I want to get beyond just the Christmas season and waiting for things to happen in our everyday lives and think a bit broader and realize that waiting can also be immensely painful. For all the talk of light this morning and the singing of light, and perhaps for some of you, darkness is where you're at right now in life. Test results coming in a couple of weeks, hopeless relational conflict, relentless depression or anxiety haunt your daily life. For you, waiting is a time of darkness. And in all these forms of waiting, whether it's the everyday impatience, the positive aspects, or this darker side of waiting, we can apply the common phrase, what are you waiting for? And in a society that values the here and now, waiting actually becomes something that we want to avoid or minimize at all costs. Waiting in our world is all about us and our ability to overcome whatever obstacles we face. Carpe diem, seize the day, or you'll get left behind. We then celebrate and emulate those who have it all together, somehow thinking that if we try a little harder, overcome a little more, we can somehow get our lives together as well. No more waiting is our goal. And then in faith, we can adopt the same approach. Following Jesus becomes about trying a little harder, and waiting isn't an option. In fact, waiting is weak. A lack of faith. Enter Advent. Advent tells us otherwise. Not only is waiting part of the Christmas story, waiting is an integral part of what it means to be the people of God. In Advent, it's not about eliminating our waiting, but learning how to wait. As Stanley Hauerwas relates, he says, Advent is patience. It's how God has made us a people of promise in a world of impatience. And so as we consider the first Sunday of Advent this morning, we realize that Advent symbolizes that the Christian life accepts and enters into the waiting in this world. And so with this theme of waiting, I want you to reflect on a story that is leading up to the first advent, to Jesus' birth in the history of God's people. And so I want you to imagine a little bit this story. There was a young Jewish man. He encountered God, not unlike the prophets of old. The Holy Spirit was upon him. To others, he was always distracted. His gaze was never in the present, in the marketplace, in conversation, in his home with family, and especially in the temple. His gaze, his attention, was always on the horizon. He lived in a constant state of waiting. You see, he'd received a promise that he would see the Messiah of Israel in his lifetime. The Messiah, he thought. Wow! The one who will restore our nation back to greatness. Restore God's favor like it was in the days of David and Solomon. What a message! It was an exciting time for him when he first got this revelation. It was distracting in the most hopeful of ways. In fact, his expectation ran so deep that he moved to Jerusalem and made a point of going regularly to the temple to worship, committing himself to waiting, often telling others of his hope. But time passed. Waiting got difficult, monotonous even. Excitement waned, and along came a time of spiritual darkness. Yet even in questions, the man kept going to the temple, committed to the promise that his waiting wasn't in vain. Day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, waiting, waiting for the consolation of Israel. The man was still waiting in old age, his body crippled. He was tired. Navigating the slopes of Jerusalem got more and more difficult. Yet he persisted. He didn't lose hope. People in the temple wondered about whom to them had become a muttering old man. What is he waiting for? They asked. Yet the man wasn't the only one waiting. There was also an old woman in the temple who didn't join the others in questioning or ridiculing the waiting man. She could relate. Hers was a similar story. You see, as was the norm, she had married at a young age. But tragedy struck, and she was widowed shortly after marriage. Hers was a relational darkness. But rather than remarry, the woman dedicated herself to worship and prayer, choosing a life of homelessness, spending day and night fasting and praying in the temple. And it was here that she met God. At first, people were surprised to see this young widow of seeming insignificance hear from God. And yet over time, she developed a reputation as one with great wisdom, a prophet even. This all despite her obscure background from one of the northern tribes of Israel, a place God was thought to have abandoned long ago. 70 years passed, day and night in the temple. 70 years. She could remember the day the man first showed up, young and full of excitement for this great promise he had received. But where others doubted his message, she believed him. The Messiah is coming. Our oppression at the hands of the Romans will end. Our limited freedom to worship as Jews will be gone. No more darkness. The King of David will reign again. Along with the man, she was also looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. So she joined the man in his waiting. But that was decades ago. And now in their old age, even she wondered if this promise of a Messiah would be fulfilled. She was weary, often dozing instead of praying, hunger pangs that much more intense as her aging body endured the toll of regular fasting again and again. In her waiting, she was getting weak. But like the man, she persisted. Waiting wasn't a curse. Somehow waiting was a blessing, accompanied by the promise and presence of God. And so together, this man and this woman, in their years and years of waiting, found a purpose. And the words of the great prophet Isaiah remained their hope. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, even in the midst of all this waiting, your God reigns. Listen, your watchmen lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. Burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord will bear his holy arm in sight of all the nations. And in the ends of the earth, we'll see the salvation of our God. This man and woman, they watched together. Their day-to-day commitment spurred on by the promise, they will see it with their own eyes. And where some in the temple lamented Israel's waiting, the man and woman found hope in the very act of waiting. Waiting wasn't passive. Waiting wasn't to be avoided or overcome. For them, waiting was holy. Waiting was holy. You've likely picked up, if you're familiar with the Christmas story, that these individuals are Simeon and Anna. And we know that in their hopeful waiting, they finally did meet the hope of their waiting in Jesus, as Luke chapter 2 describes. But as we engage Advent, I've purposely highlighted their waiting. Their meeting Jesus is a beautiful story indeed, but without the context of years of waiting and faithfulness and perseverance, no doubt waiting in many different forms of darkness, meeting the light of the world in Jesus, without that waiting, could have easily been just another typical day in the temple for a couple of tired worshipers. For them, and I think for us, waiting brings a fresh perspective. And so during this Christmas season, as the busyness ensues, as impatience ends up reigning, and perhaps for some of us ruining the day, Simeon and Anna's story reminds us that waiting's okay, needed even. They devoted themselves to waiting well. How are we, as Christians, going to wait well in this month leading up to Christmas? For them, they devoted themselves to prayer and fasting, simplicity, to rest, to silence. Will we consider such practices in our waiting this Advent? Signs that waiting offers us a chance to step back and accept an alternative way of living in a world often bent more towards what's hectic than what's holy. Advent teaches us that waiting itself can be holy. And the question Advent leads us to consider is, will we enter into the waiting? So as I discuss this question, what am I waiting for? We often ask that. And Simeon and Anna likely asked that same question. But for them, they had a different emphasis. We ask, what am I waiting for? They asked, what am I waiting for? It's a subtle but important shift. Not what am I waiting for, but what am I waiting for? The focus goes from us to God. For Simeon and Anna, their decades of waiting wasn't about them and how righteous and devout, which is a term that Luke uses in describing them. The point wasn't that they were righteous and devout. But no, the point was they were waiting, and in that they found righteousness and devotion. Their waiting was sustained by what they were waiting for. The Messiah, Jesus, this light of the world. And so this Advent, I want to encourage you. There's many ways we can see darkness in this community, in our world, perhaps even in your own life. And the temptation can be just to overcome the darkness ourselves, rather than accept the reality that we wait for the light of the world to enter into the darkness. And so this Advent, let's accept the waiting. Not in our own strength, but accept the waiting, knowing who we are waiting for. And then know this, we are waiting for the light. We can echo the Bible's conclusion in Revelation in our Advent waiting. Come, Lord Jesus, come. If there's one thing you take with you this morning, I think we already heard this before I got up here. Why do we need the light? And one of the children said, so we can see. So we can see. Let's wait so we can see. Let me pray. God, our Creator and Sustainer, as we gather here this morning, in all the many ways that we experience waiting, we acknowledge that for most of us, waiting is difficult. And so in that, Lord, renew our strength as you promise. Like Simeon and Anna, may we accept our waiting and give ourselves fully to you in our waiting. And like Simeon and Anna, may we rest assured in what we are waiting for. Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, the light of the world, God with us. Lord, give us the eyes to see your salvation this Christmas season and in our whole lives, a salvation that is you coming to us, even in unexpected ways. This is a salvation that you have prepared in the sight of all nations, and also in our very midst, a light of revelation to all and to the glory of your people. So come, Lord Jesus, come. May we know the light in this darkness. And here today, we wait. Amen.